Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. Great to have you here live.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes. My travel schedule and my health problems are behind me.
Great.
You know how that goes in life.
Tell me.
Well, you know, put that behind me. Done with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here we are.
Here we are. So we can be here now.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You're listening to Open Air on KZSU Stanford. You can listen to archives of previous shows at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. And we'd love to hear from you today. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can call us at 650-723-9010. You can also email us at openair@kzsu.org. And today we'll be talking about... What will we be talking about today, Sherry?
Well, we have so many choices.
Yes.
As I said this past weekend at the retreat, I, because of the email class, I live in the world of projection. Did I say that last week on
yes.
the radio? Yeah. I'm just immersed in it. It's just what I do.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if somebody wants to talk about anything else,
might consider it.
Yeah, they better bring it up, because left to me, it's all going to come back
it's
to projection.
It's going to be projection.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Do you want to, for people who don't know what projection is, I'm sure a lot of people have experienced projection.
Oh.
And they may not know what it is and what you're referring to.
My version of projection, because there are lots of different definitions of projection, but mine is that everything in our universe, everything that we experience is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That life is simply mirroring what we are projecting onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So we could talk about that as creating our own reality, but creating our own reality implies some sort of volition.
Yes.
And the projection that we're looking at as a tool for spiritual awareness actually is, for most people, unconscious.
Yes.
So I look at somebody and I say, huh, well, and I've got whatever the label is in the storyline in my head.
Yes.
And no, they're not, as a matter of fact. You know, I am projecting that onto them.
Uh-huh.
And until we start looking at it and maybe start talking to other people, the assumption is just so deep that there is an objective reality. I am seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in fact, he is that way. It is so obvious.
Uh-huh.
Anyone can see it. And no, actually, they can't. And so that's kind of what we're talking about with projection.
Uh-huh.
That everything that I see tells me something about me, and that's pretty much it.
Yes.
You know, people want to argue. Of course they want to argue.
They're going to call in and argue.
In the beginning, it's just a dreadful thing to consider, especially when we stop and think about some of the kinds of things we're projecting onto people.
Absolutely.
It's like, no, I'm not like that. That's not me.
Right.
That's, I mean, what about a serial killer? What about, once we kind of get the hang of it, it's fairly liberating, because if the world is the way it is because I'm projecting it, well, I can follow those projections back. I can see those places inside myself. Maybe I have a different relationship with them. Certainly seeing them, becoming aware of them, changes my relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find it a very positive, encouraging, empowering sort of notion. But I understand when people first encounter it, they often don't see it that way.
Yes, they see it as dreadful or difficult.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the world that we are conditioned to live in, I think, at least the people I talk to. Now, there could be a whole group of people out there who don't have this experience, but they don't talk to me for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
So much of socialization puts us in this idea that there's something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And certainly with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot
mm-hmm.
of people are afraid to look at themselves because they just assume they're going to get bad news. I'm going to see something bad about myself, and I don't want
yes.
to. So people will hear about projection, and it's like, okay, well, how do I stop? How do I get rid of that? How do I – or what I'm supposed to do is say, I hear a voice inside my head that says, my God, she's stupid.
Uh-huh.
And so then I have to say – well, that's a projection. So, my God, I'm stupid.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't think I am. Doggone it. So, you know, that's flawed, or I have to feel bad.
Uh-huh.
Either there's something wrong with projection.
Yes.
It's not true all the time. There really is an objective reality, or this means I'm stupid, and uh-huh. then I feel bad. And, of course, that's not technically what we're talking about. That's
uh-huh.
I certainly have a part of me that feels stupid.
Yes.
I you too?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I wanted to admit it on the air. But
that's right. But it's just us. We'll, you know. They are actually a theory. Right,
the people there listening. Are listeners.
Yeah.
Listening.
We have no proof of that until that phone starts ringing, you know, and they
yes.
say I'm out here listening.
Yes.
So yeah, we don't like to admit these things until we once again get the hang of it, and then it's kind of fun because we're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We're just pretending that we're not. So the idea is that to follow that projection back, kind of twofold. One, I do have a part of me that feels stupid. And I certainly know a voice inside of me that calls me stupid
mm-hmm.
in the same way it would call somebody else stupid.
Uh-huh.
So uh-huh. One of the fun things that we're doing in the email class now is following back the projections of that voice in the head.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if this is true for you, but I might have a voice in my head that says, "You are so stupid."
Mm-hmm.
And the fascinating thing, the thing that people often don't think about is it just said you.
You.
You are so stupid.
Yes.
And it's talking to me.
Yes.
So
it's not me.
It really technically isn't because I'm the one who's listening to it call me stupid.
Yes.
Now, if we stay with projection, then whoever that voice is projected that.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we follow the projection back, then whoever said that is having the stupid experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And having the stupid experience, projecting it onto me.
Yes.
If I'm not paying attention, then I feel bad.
Yes.
And if I'm really not paying attention, then I unconsciously project that out onto somebody else.
Uh-huh.
You're so stupid.
Uh-huh.
In the same way that I hear the voice, I say it about somebody else. So
yes.
It's just, it's rich with possibility. It's fertile
yes.
ground to muck around in.
Yes.
Yeah, lots to be seen. You like that image? Fertile ground to muck around in.
Yeah. Fertile ground for discussion.
Certainly fertile for discussion.
Yes.
Yeah. So much to see.
Yes. If you'd like to join this fertile ground for discussion, give us a call at 650-723-9010. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, the place I always get to when we're talking about this projection and the way that we look inside what's going on with ourselves, when there's not that self-hate that beats us up for looking, feels like it makes it a lot easier to look.
Oh, it certainly does. And, of course, that whole conversation that we just had about a voice that's saying you
mm-hmm.
to me, that voice that you just referred to as self-hatred, the one that beats us up, is always talking about you.
Yes.
So once we catch on to that, it makes it much easier, actually, for us to watch the process because it's actually, you know, it's easy to get to that realization. It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody is calling me names. Well, I can feel bad about that or not.
Right.
You know, just in the same way, if you called me names, well, I have a choice. I can feel bad about that or not.
Absolutely.
And if I make the or not choice, then the voice is just railing on about carrying on over there about what's wrong with me and my bad decisions and all of that. And if I don't take it personally, then it's just really interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Sherry, I think we've hit the fertile ground here. I'd like to welcome Karen from North Carolina. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm great.
Good, good. How are things in North Carolina?
Oh, it's balmy. 70 degrees and sunny.
Now, wait a minute. Why do you have our weather?
I don't know.
And whose weather do we have? I think we have Alaska's weather.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, it's fabulous.
Well, I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay, good.
All right, good. What's going on?
Well, I love this projection stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to talk about a way I've been using it in practice. I often notice that I'll project my enjoyment to other people, other people's situations, other people's lives, other people's homes, you know, everything.
Now, can you give us a little sentence? Do one on somebody else's home so I can be sure I'm following you.
Well, even where they live, I'll be walking down where I live, and all the projections, everything I'll see is what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm at someone else's house, I see everything that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's enjoyable. That brings me to that place of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And so did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I noticed this, and I thought, well, this is really peculiar. And knowing what I have experienced about projection, that it's coming from within me, that, well, why is this enjoyment always projected outwards
mm-hmm.
for me to experience it?
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an all-around-the-mulberry-bush thing.
Uh-huh.
You experience, you literally experience it through projecting it out onto something else and then feeling it from that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, not all the time,
right?
A lot, though. I noticed it a lot. And so, what my exercise is then is to, as we say, to own that. So, when I'm walking around my house, I will touch, you know, I will actively look for that place inside
mm-hmm.
and touch that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah.
Let yourself experience that.
Yeah.
So, you go to a place of pleasure or enjoyment inside yourself.
Right.
Consciously, by choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's fabulous.
Yeah, people think it can't be done, but
Whoa. It's
actually quite easy, isn't it?
Well, it takes remembering.
Yes, it does. and that's basically it.
Uh-huh.
Because what you're doing is availing yourself of something that has been done unconsciously all your life.
Yes.
Now you're doing it with consciousness. So
yeah.
I go, you know, I love the ocean, so I go to the ocean and I'm happy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, then let's take that step of going to the ocean out.
Yeah.
So I just go to the way I feel when I'm at the ocean.
Right.
There. Now.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about some weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Be happy first.
That's right. Be happy first, then see if you want to go to the ocean.
Yeah. And, yeah, and so, you know, to be able to come to that awareness through projection, is, you know, it's good, what'd you say, some fertile ground to muck around in.
That's right.
But I've got the studio cam I'm looking at on my computer.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So, yes. Do we wave at you?
It won't show it until about 5 minutes later.
That's
when they
right.
take a new picture.
Uh-huh.
So it's fun.
Well, good.
Uh-huh.
Well, fortunately, we've both dressed very attractively tonight.
Yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And also one thing, and then I'll say goodnight. Last week there was some question, the closest I can remember, about do we draw our lessons to ourselves or
mm-hmm.
what we and, mm-hmm. and then there was your answer to that. And what occurred to me this week about that was, well, what you see is what you get.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's been one of my favorite songs. Since
uh-huh.
it came out, Lo, those many years ago, for exactly that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you see. Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, glad you're feeling good.
Thank you.
All right.
And you too, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. I love the show.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. What you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get. Can
uh-huh.
you say more about that?
Well, and what you see is who you are.
Uh-huh. So I look out and I see this person who is blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And
there
that's
it
what
is.
I'm experiencing.
Yeah. Somebody in the email class just did the most wonderful thing about that. She told a story. I guess it was she. You know, with the email classes, I don't actually know who people are. So
yeah.
I project.
Uh-huh.
And I always do that. I always have this, you know, he or she, unless they say, you know, there's a little girl or a little boy, which gives me a clue. But I just read them, and I project that it's a male or a female, and I just don't seem to be able to stop myself. So this person, he or she, but let's say she for the sake of argument,
uh-huh.
was sitting on a train and saw this, looked up and saw this woman who was kind of average and sort of dowdy and dumpy with sort of stringy, thin hair and glasses, and this person is just feeling kind of sorry for us. See, I think that's why I thought it was a woman, because it just seems like such a a gal thing that we would do. You know, oh dear, she's not as attractive as she could be, and isn't that sad to be not as attractive as you could be person in this culture? How's that all for projection? So she's watching, you know, the train comes to a stop. The woman gets up, gets off the train, and walks out the door. And here's this exceedingly handsome man and a child. And this woman walks up to them, and, you know, the child is just going crazy with excitement. Mommy, mommy, mommy. The handsome man, you know, puts his arm around her, and they walk off together. And this person's going, huh. Boy, was that a waste of sympathy.
Yes.
Yeah, and just that place of, you know, it had nothing to do with the individual on whom this was being projected.
Uh-huh.
And that this person could see that and not need to feel bad or take it personally.
Yes.
This says something bad about me. Just, wow, isn't that interesting how I construct this world based on people's happiness dependent upon how they look, and then kind of getting it that these are just my standards. They don't have anything to do with anything. And yeah,
I glance at someone for 3 seconds and I know their whole life.
Oh, yeah. And who they are to you and how you feel about it. Yeah.
It's just, and why that's important.
And why that, yeah. And it's just all made up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Phones are ringing here, Sherry. Let's talk to Celia in Seattle. I'd like to welcome you to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, Michael.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sherry. I'd like to talk about somebody in my life that is very much like you were talking about at the beginning of the show, about you're looking at a person and saying, well, I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
And which is the daughter of my cousin, who is been diagnosed bipolar, and who is always in trouble, and can't keep a job, and is always asking for handouts and for favors, and blaming the family for her troubles, and just being generally obnoxious.
Now, there's a good centered word for it, right?
Yeah.
No projection in that. This is just
this is
pure analysis.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Right.
Okay, so she's obnoxious. And I'm guessing from the way you laid this out that you're not.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now let me just ask you this. How hard do you have to work at not being obnoxious?
Well, it seems to come naturally.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you, so
that is, it's just a daily thing.
It's just a
that I never think about.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Because you would never ask for a handout.
Oh, no.
No. And you would never blame someone else for your troubles.
Of course
you do.
Right.
We all do.
Right.
We're being honest here. It's just the three of us, so we can.
Right.
Yeah, we can talk about these things. So this is a key part of what I think a lot of folks stumble over with projection, and that is, I am working so hard not to be like that. Now, also, a lot of us fall for the old, if it happens inside my head and nobody knows, it doesn't count.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, if we're looking at this from a, I'm trying to wake up and in suffering, then we know it counts.
Right.
Yeah. Because the other thing we know once we start paying attention is nothing just happens inside. It leaks out somewhere. Even though we may kid ourselves into believing that there's no evidence of it anywhere, there is. Yeah. So now you're not going to hear this and say, oh, oh no, this means I am a bad person. I am just like the daughter of my cousin. You're not going to do that, are you?
Oh, well, sure.
Okay, good. We can work with honesty here. Yeah, because, I mean, what we're talking about, what you're pointing at, is at the heart of it. I mean, you have been, I would guess, seriously conditioned not to be those ways. You are strong, you are independent, you are responsible, you are, you know, this whole
right.
list of Girl Scout qualities.
Right.
And God help you if you're not. So then when we run into somebody who is not doing it, they're not playing by the rules that have created the structure of our lives, you know, we just find it intolerable.
Yeah.
Because why are you doing all of this? Why are you in this rigid corset of propriety if it doesn't matter? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean,
what a question.
Yeah, I mean, who of us wouldn't, you know, if everything were equal, if everything were equal, why would you take so much pains to be responsible?
Mm-hmm. It's no fun at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just really, as we say, works our nerves. When somebody seems to not have to follow the rules and get away with it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, for me, the question that I ask myself when I'm in this miserable place that you've just found yourself, do I do what I do because I should, because I have to, or do I really do what I do because I choose it? You know, am I responsible because it would make me a bad person not to be? Or am I responsible because I want to be responsible?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're responsible, and of course we're not defining that,
right.
obviously, so you know.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah, so it's whatever it means to you. But if you're being who you are, because that's really what you want to do, then it doesn't bother you if somebody else is doing something else.
Mm.
But if there's that little part of you that says, you know, I don't want to have to work so hard.
Yeah.
You know, I want to lie around and eat bonbons and drink beer and watch soap operas and have somebody else pay the rent.
Right.
You know, I want to do that too. Well, then that person is really going to struggle. And you're going to struggle as a result of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we can hear this without it being an indictment, then it can help us get back to these hidden parts of ourselves that are causing us to suffer. You know, it has nothing to do with what anybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that comes up is how much responsibility I'm supposed to take for her. Like,
yeah.
Should I be giving her money? Should I be giving her a place to stay?
Well, for me, you know, everyone and everything in life is our best opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that's your best opportunity to see where those shoulds live in your life.
Hmm.
That the job one is to find out the answers to those questions for yourself.
Where do the shoulds live?
Yeah.
What?
Well, you know how to find them? Do something you don't want to do. Okay, so
uh-huh.
write her a check.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, you'll it'll arise.
Right.
Yeah, or offer for her to come and stay with you for a weekend or something like that, and it'll all arise. You know, the parts of you who say, hey, now this is part of being a good person. You know, you
okay.
have everything, and she is sick, and you know, she doesn't have the resources. And then the parts will be there who say, no, I spend all week doing something I'm not thrilled about doing so that I can afford to, you know, I earn this money. And, you know, so you're going to get all of these people talking to you.
Yeah.
And that is, to me, that's job one. That's the first thing you do. Okay. Is get to know that all of this and resolve these issues inside yourself. When these issues are resolved, then you will do or not do whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But until they're resolved, it's just another level of suffering. Because you'll do the right person thing, and you'll be resentful. Or you
right.
won't do the right person thing. You know, this is all in quotes.
Right.
You won't do the right person thing, and you'll feel guilty.
Right.
Yeah, so you can't win.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a workshop.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's why God gave us relatives.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Isn't it? We are blessed.
Yeah.
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 Okay, well, let us know.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Celia.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Celia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Sherry, I was listening as you said, we choose to do what we want to do. And it seems when I'm in that place of choosing, consciously choosing, there's a lot more willingness, clarity,
yeah,
less resentment.
Yeah, and we can choose to do what we want to do or choose what we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And and we really get to see the players in a big hurry.
Yes.
And then moving toward that place of clarity inside of ourselves, then yes, I can do whatever and give whatever, and it's freely
mm-hmm.
given.
Mm-hmm.
Say no, mm-hmm. and there's no guilt or that sort of thing when it's coming from that
right.
what we call the place that is most compassionate for all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems like in that place, we're not listening to the voices as much in
yeah.
terms of
yeah.
what they're telling us to do.
They will probably still be there.
Yes.
But they're not dictating our life experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Phones are still ringing here. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call at 650-723-9010. I'd like to welcome Claire from Palo Alto. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Sherry.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, Michael. Since nobody's listening, I've decided to come clean about my brother.
Uh-huh.
With a view to.
That, I love that. I'm going to come clean about my brother. Yeah.
Projection.
Very good.
Yes, we're on projection, and I'm hoping to find out something here about me and maybe open up my relationship with my brother. Anyway, it occurs to me about my brother that if he wasn't my brother, this is not something that I would choose to know in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have one of those. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I see him as somebody that I don't know and somebody that I have a lot of judgment about his parenting skills.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who doesn't take care of himself and doesn't have any feelings.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a lot with my brother.
He is just an all-around wrong person.
Yeah, part of me thinks that.
Yes, I hear that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so what is it like when you start bringing those projections back in?
Then that's really hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I don't care for myself and that I don't know my feelings. It's like, you know, that doesn't fit at all.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me, like, shakes a little.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, again, as we were talking about with Celia, you make sure that those things are not true for you.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, that's where your energy goes in life.
Yeah, I do work hard at that at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, when you see somebody who's not doing those things and
right.
seems to be just sort of skating along,
mm.
then it's really annoying.
Makes me mad.
Yes, makes us mad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, if we question, am I doing this because I want to do this, or am I doing this because I think I should do this? That's gonna give a lot of, and can I not do this? Which reveals even more stuff.
Hmm. If I were to be honest, it feels kind of safe to do this, because then I don't really have to get to know him.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's very different from you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you can just keep him at arm's distance.
Exactly.
You don't have to face those parts of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, there are a lot of other advantages to this. We can be righteous.
Yeah.
We can be in control.
Yeah.
You know, when we're keeping somebody at arm's length, we have absolute control over the relationship.
Yeah.
And we don't have to notice anything about them that doesn't fit our image of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's a very good
yeah.
deal.
Yeah, I get to feel better about myself because I think I have in touch with my feelings, and I think that I would interact better with his children than he does.
And the good news is you don't have to,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he's stuck with them, right? And you get to just be judgmental about how he takes care of them, knowing that you would do a much better job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know, it's kind of painful, huh?
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And helpful.
Yeah, it is helpful, and it's very scary, though, to think about bringing these things back home to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, my encouragement always with people is do it slowly.
Mm.
Yeah, kind of pick one at a time. Like, I think your phrasing was, he doesn't take care of himself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that might be an interesting one.
Right,
just to notice in a given week how many times you don't take care of yourself.
Yeah,
on the level of body, emotions, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big one. That is something that I do battle with a lot. So that would be good to focus in on that one.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's not finding what you're doing wrong. It's not turning it over to the voices of conditioning to now point the finger at you and judge you as they have been judging him.
Uh-huh.
You know, right. We like it when the voices in our head, is it head or heads? It sounds so odd to say heads, doesn't it? It sounds like you have three or four of them. So there are those voices, and they are on him for a change instead of ragging on you all the time.
Right. Right.
So we hate to interfere with that relationship because, you know, as soon as you turn your attention away from him, they're going to focus on you.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's the one that we want to be careful about in doing this projection work.
Okay, so the encouragement is just to notice when I'm turning those voices back on me and to let them go.
That's right, yeah. Because, again, those voices talk about him and they're going to talk about you.
Right.
So to realize that that's a system that's going on inside your head, and it's focused outward, it's projected outward, then it's projected inward on you, projected outward on your brother and probably others, then projected inward on you.
Right.
And it's not, when we listen to it, we have a growing sense that it's not me. You know, because one of the quick ways that people get that is when they try to stop.
Yeah.
And they can't. Because we actually don't have control over those voices.
Right.
Yeah. So people are, you know, in there yelling, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. And there's no, you know, you get a voice saying something like, you know, you're losing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense is how freeing, though, to begin to move past that.
Yes. Definitely so. Definitely so. Yeah, because you don't have to believe it about your brother. You don't have to believe it about you.
Right.
It's just I talk about it as a tape loop. It's programming. It's just in there, and it just runs and runs and runs and runs.
Yeah.
And it runs our lives until we catch on to it and take the power back.
Yeah, and the sadness at how it adversely affects my relationship with my brother and my relationship with myself.
Yes, so yes. And your brother's children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who I imagine are an even bigger motivation for working through this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for that, Sherry.
You're welcome. No lack of things to do.
Indeed. I will go about my homework directly.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for calling us, Claire. Sherry, it occurred to me in listening to Claire and some of the other callers, there's a sense for me that when I hear other people's voices and self-hate, I just realize that everyone has it.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to be so concerned about it.
Yeah.
Taking it personally.
Taking it personally, right. Yeah. Feeling bad that this goes on.
Yeah.
It
just happens.
It just happens. It goes on. That's all.
Yeah.
So trying to hide it feeling guilty, you know, all of that stuff. It's just a waste of time, and it makes it harder than it needs to be.
Yes, yes. Exciting. The other thing that occurred to me, Sherry, you've talked earlier about conditioning being a matter of repetition. Mm-hmm. That's how all of this happened. And to expect to stop it overnight.
Oof. Yeah. We can't even catch on to it overnight.
Yeah.
We can't even remember in that length of time that it exists.
Yes.
And if we're not taking it personally and it's not something we feel bad about, and we remember that what we're attempting to do in this awareness practice is wake up and end suffering, not go through a course in self-improvement, mm-hmm. then it's a project.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. You know, people... probably people listening to this show, let's face it, do stuff to become more aware all the time. I mean, we live in a world of people who are interested in seeing themselves, knowing mm-hmm. more about themselves, mm-hmm. introspection.
Mm-hmm.
So this fits right into that category.
Absolutely.
It's just a little workshop we get to do all the time. Mm-hmm. Walking around in the world. We don't have
seeing
to pay
ourselves.
Money, right? We don't have to take time off from the weekend to do it. We can just watch how this process operates in human beings.
Uh-huh.
And it's wonderfully illuminating.
Fascinating.
It really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Coming up at 6 p.m., we have DJ Decca with At the Cafe Bohemian. She plays great world music. And then at 8 p.m., we have CW. We're going to take a quick break here. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call at 650-723-9010. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We've been talking about projection today and self-hate and lots of other fascinating topics.
Those kinds of things that we kind of always talk about.
We
have
always,
you noticed that?
Let's see, projection, self-hate, the voices in the head.
Beliefs and assumptions.
Beliefs and assumptions.
Aspects of the personality.
Aspects of the personality. We haven't mm-hmm. gone into that too much today.
Not too much. We could because...
I mean, there's got to be a topic that people want to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, these are all the ones I like to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Disidentification.
Disidentification.
Right? How to step back from this stuff when we're caught in it.
Mm-hmm.
And center, which is, of course, the whole... reason that some of us are devoted to meditation,
uh-huh.
so that we can get here into this moment. Right before the show, Lori, one of our two stalwarts there, and Jay, and you and I were having a conversation,
yes.
and she was giving us a Ram Dass quote.
Yes,
that was quite wonderful for people who are Ram Dass fans. Probably most of you know that he had a fairly major stroke mm-hmm. a number of years ago, and really has slowed him down from mm-hmm. from the person he used to be. And apparently he said when he thinks about the way he used to be, he can get depressed. But if he just looks out the window and sees the ocean there, everything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's true for all of us.
Uh-huh.
If we spend our time comparing what... might have been,
yes.
What could be,
yes.
what to what's now, then we can just make ourselves miserable no matter where we are.
Absolutely.
But if we get into the moment where we are,
mm-hmm.
then it's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
So
the only moment that actually
yeah, everything
exists.
Else is illusion.
Yes.
Of course, you know, I mean, what we've just been talking about, so you get into this moment,
uh-huh.
And then we're projecting what this moment is, right? Because if Ram Dass had a hideous fear of the ocean and
right.
you know fantasies that the tide was going to come in and swallow him up, then he could make himself quite miserable there, looking at the beautiful
yes.
Pacific. So, but that's not his projection apparently, and so he has a grand time. Now, I suppose it could be argued that even if that projection were going on, if he were just here and present to it, then that would just be an interesting thing to be mm-hmm. happening, and there would mm-hmm. still be well-being.
Yeah, in that disidentified way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, we throw in acceptance.
Acceptance.
Because this last weekend we just did a retreat, When You're Falling, Dive.
Yes.
Which was quite fun.
Yes.
A lot about acceptance and how to do that.
Yes.
So, yeah, those are our topics. And it seems to me that, I don't know, maybe I'm just limited. when I look at life and the world, it seems like just about everything falls under those categories. You know, supposedly what the Buddha taught is that there are four causes of suffering. Okay? Not getting what you want, getting what you want and not being satisfied, being separated from those or that which you love, and being forced to endure the company of those or that which you do not love. And I'm fond of pointing out that it all comes down to the first one, not getting what you want.
Yes.
So, we've just listed, you know, 8 or 10 things that the whole human experience can fit under. The Buddha kind of got it down to one.
Yes.
So
one that I think all of us can relate to.
Oh, yeah. There it is. There is the suffering. And, of course, the conditioned mind is trained to go from thing to 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 thing, so that the dissatisfaction of not getting what I want is constant.
Right.
And so when we break that pattern by disidentifying from that what we call something wrong mind and getting back here into the present, then life is grand.
Wow, life is grand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to call in and talk to us about something wrong mind or any of those topics, please give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. Yeah, something wrong mind seems to capture the essence of it, doesn't it?
Isn't that it?
Yes.
Yeah. And when we're in...
This could be better. I wish this were...
Oh.
Why did she say that?
Yeah, they should.
What about...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something wrong mind for the past, for the present, and for the future. When we're in something wrong mind.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a very different in the present than that present that we were just talking about. Because something wrong mind can be right here. You know, I don't feel that well. You know, I'm not having that good a time.
You don't even have to hear the words.
Mm-hmm.
You can sense the energy.
Yes. And it does seem like, it seems to me, now this is a projection, full circle back to the top of the hour, that something wrong mind fuels a lot of what goes on in our world.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just an internal experience that we're having, but it seems like it's outside as well.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a tremendous focus on what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
And who's wrong. And why they're wrong, and
right.
all of the subtleties of what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
So
trying to say what's wrong without really using the term wrong.
Oh, we would never do that. Yeah. Yeah. Just pointing out the problems.
Right.
And, the mark of a discriminating mind, a really intelligent discriminating mind, is to be able to find something wrong with everything.
Mm-hmm. Scary, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something as simple as having good taste means you can find what's wrong with everything.
Yes.
And then we're conditioned into that. And then we feel bad about ourselves that this has happened to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or we can.
Yes.
It's not a requirement.
Right. Right. Fortunately.
Fortunately.
As you're fond
of
pointing out.
Yeah, it is not a requirement.
Yes. And you said earlier there's a sense that it's out there. Can you say more about that?
In the world at large?
Yeah, yes.
Which is a projection.
Mm-hmm.
But if we turn to something like the media.
Uh-huh.
If there was an election day over part of the country today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we hear a lot about in the world of politics is negative campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to run for office, I don't tell you what I'm going to do, because who cares? Because you don't believe me anyway. But if I can convince you what's wrong with my opponent, then maybe you'll vote for me. Because the assumption is that if I'm doing a really good job of pointing out what's wrong with the other person, then I must be a better person just by comparison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, something wrong. You know, it sells products. It
kind
of makes the world go around, makes the economy go around, gives You know, there's always something to talk about, as long as there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about being satisfied and fulfilled doesn't get a lot of airplay.
No.
Except here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not popular. Maybe that would be a fun topic for a conversation if people are interested in that. And just looking at why. Now, of course, I think that we've got a bad audience for that because I would bet that an awful lot of the people who would be in conversation with us aren't really interested in what's wrong, would in fact be supportive of and probably seek out more information about whatever the opposite of that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're not going to say what's right because that puts us in the other side of the duality.
Right, yeah.
But what comes from center or what comes from the heart, what's kind. Mm-hmm. I was at the gym last night and there was a, I don't know what was on, the news, I guess. And there was a young man that they were showing. They showed a woman who had just completed the New York
Marathon,
mm-hmm. New York City Marathon. And she's, I don't know how old she is, but she's diabetic and she has all these serious health problems. And I think it took her like 52 hours or something like that. And she does these things all the time. Mm-hmm. And then they showed this young man from a little town. It seems like it was Anderson, South Carolina, but I could be making that up, who has cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And he's on the track team. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, this fellow was standing there watching it as I was.
Yes.
And I was exercising.
He was working.
I was the right person. He was just
slacking,
lolling around over there. We were kidding about, commenting that, boy, you know, the next time you think something is too hard,
right,
just think about that young man.
Uh-huh.
You know, he runs along with this very awkward, what looks like it would just be painful, mm-hmm. gait.
Yes.
He falls down. He he never wins. Mm-hmm. And, he's just, you know, he's an inspiration to this entire town to, you know, apparently in growing numbers all across the nation because he just represents that spirit that that we mm-hmm. we know is the difference. So
yes.
That when I thought of what is the alternative to something wrong mind, you know, this guy gets my vote.
Yes.
We're just playing all out.
Uh-huh.
Just heart.
Just putting his
just,
heart out.
Yeah, there. Just pure heart. The guy's just pure heart.
Yes.
And they were talking to people in the city who uh-huh. or the little town who support him, and you know the coach at the high school, you know, in a lot of places he wouldn't be allowed to be on the team.
Yes.
And they you know they say things like he makes us special.
Yes.
You know, that sort of feeling.
Yes.
as a town, as a group, mm-hmm. as people, you know, mm-hmm. he didn't say it, one of the fellows didn't say it this way, but it's what he meant.
Yes.
You know, he is our heart.
Yes.
And so,
in the sense that we project that out.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and the positive side of projection, because people always want to look at it that way. You know,
yes.
So I'm looking at all these awful qualities
yes.
I'm projecting onto people. So the other side of that is that when we see something like that, because we are projecting it, it takes us to that place.
Yeah.
We know that place of. Of hope and inspiration and strength and courage that this young man is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very good.
Yeah, and we're experiencing that.
Oh, yeah.
In the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
That we're projecting.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was thinking as you were talking about the media earlier, you know, could there be an objective reporting about stuff? And then I realized that that's just another belief that mm-hmm. there is such a thing as an objective.
You know, what I would like to find, if there is such a thing. Now, was there ever people, you know, have opinions that at some point our country was more the way I'm going to describe than it is now? But what I wish we had is people who are disidentified. People who are more interested in the process than in the content.
Uh-huh.
It seems that we are now so invested in our own point of view.
Yes.
That it's very difficult to present something that doesn't have our spin on
it. Yes, yes.
And so in terms of news, media reporting, that sort of thing, I would love that.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm always fascinated by the experience of listening to really intelligent, disidentified people talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think
and you can tell.
Yeah, and
you
we don't have that much of it. I mean, it's not that they're still not projecting, because they are. But it's a different kind of, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just a different kind of investment.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, you know, some of my heroes, like Wendell Berry. I mean, he's very, very passionate about what he's passionate about. But it has, and now, again, I admit it, I'm projecting, it has a less personal feel to me than sometimes when I'm listening to people and I think, my gosh, you know, do you really believe what you're saying? There, I mean, there's so much spin that, do you really believe this? Because right. If you do, it's downright scary.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of the opposite of something wrong mind, it would just be a wonderful thing if we had people from all walks of life just in conversation
mm-hmm.
about topics of interest to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Without a sense of investment.
Yeah, or at least watching the investment.
Yes.
You know, to realize, where am I projecting this from? Can I see where I'm projecting? I mean, it's obvious I have a huge bias toward ending suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really want people who want not to suffer to know how to end suffering.
Yeah.
Now, do they need that? Well, I don't know. But I want to do that. I want to...
Right. So you choose.
I choose that. Yeah. And so I'm not, I hope, I'm not hiding that from anybody. You know, that this is not a without bias sort of approach.
Right.
Although, in a certain sense, I guess you could say it is, because it doesn't matter to me if people don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's kind of like being a mechanic and wanting everybody's car to work really well. But, you know, if they don't care, I don't care. I'm not going to go
right.
over to people's garages and, you know, tune their car for them, because
yes.
it's important to me that everybody have
yes.
a car that, you know, it's not like that. And
yes.
if they come to my shop, I want to give them the best
right.
Tune-up, I guess, to follow along with that, that it's possible for me to give. And so I think it's great for people to talk from their passion, from what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
I can always enjoy and appreciate anybody speaking from the heart about
yes.
what is meaningful to them. I don't necessarily have to agree with
yeah.
the content of what it is.
Right.
But listening to somebody come from the heart is always, to me, inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at the risk of appearing ignorant, could you tell me who Wendell Berry is?
Oh, yeah, and I hope everybody will go look him up.
Uh-huh.
I think he's best known as a poet.
Uh-huh.
And I think the group he works with is called Orion.
Orion.
I think they, now whether that's a publishing group or
mm-hmm.
who it is that puts out his material, but he's a poet and a philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
He's his passion is sustainability.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of a conscious living,
yes.
Living from kindness,
mm-hmm.
I would say. I don't know if he would say that.
Mm-hmm.
A gentle soul.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of a, yeah, that's.
Fascinating.
Now, again, if people look him up and read what he's written, they might have a completely different take
uh-huh.
on him.
Uh-huh.
But that's my projection onto who he is and where he's coming from.
Yes, yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're getting close to the end of the hour here. If you have a brief comment that you'd like to call in, please give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. Sherry, it occurred to me as you were talking earlier, I've heard you talk about the distinction between when I share with an I statement versus a you statement.
Mm-hmm.
And that occurred to me as well,
mm-hmm.
as you were talking about the media and listening to people on TV and on the radio.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So this is my experience.
This is my experience.
Yes.
There it is. I mean, I can just never argue with that.
Right.
When it comes in the form of you, I often get my hackles up because I don't.
Stop.
That's right.
Don't even start.
Don't even start with what my experience is. It's an interesting thing. I would like to hear actually somebody more knowledgeable than I talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the to me, what feels like manipulation.
Yes.
In not making I statements. If
yes.
I were to say to you, you know how you're going along in life, and then you get fired, and you feel really inadequate and unsuccessful, and
I was really happy when I was fired.
I see.
It's a free time.
Yes. So
right.
It's not. I'm not talking about your experience.
Right.
I'm talking about my experience, but I'm not owning it.
Yes.
And there's this kind of implication in not owning my experience that we all share this objective reality,
mm-hmm.
and that's just not my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it when people make I statements, and I can listen to anybody who makes an I statement.
Absolutely.
Because I'm fascinated by what their experience
right.
is.
Right.
And
I don't have to hold off them pushing stuff onto me.
Yeah, but I realize I have some attitudes about people who want to make it appear that I share this objective reality
mm-hmm.
that they seem to be putting forth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And seem to be invested in.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the same way that at this point, I don't listen to people who use sexist language, and I don't read people who use sexist or racist mm-hmm. language. I kind of find myself just tuning out
mm-hmm.
people who don't make I statements.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Sherry, I think we've covered the waterfront. Is that the term?
Well, we've given it our best shot.
Given it our best shot. For this week, at least?
Yeah.
You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Coming up, we have DJ Decca with At the Cafe Bohemian. Then at 8 p.m., we have CW. We had a lot of great callers today.
We did. And next week, hopefully, we'll be able to have many discussions on Wendell Berry or what was the... I can't remember. There was one other topic like that we put out there.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I statements and you statements. We
yes.
could have a good discussion about that.
Yes.
And, lots of things. So people can think about how they want the discussion to go next week and call early and let us know.
Absolutely. I'd like to thank all of our callers who joined us today, our listeners. I'd like to thank Lori and Jay, our stalwart team there.
Mm-hmm.
You can find an archive of today's show at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com, as well as all of our previous shows. And if you want to get in touch with us in the meantime, drop us an email at openair@kzsu.org.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.